It.
All righty. Excuse me.
I want to read one verse there, and then we'll deal with some more of it in Luke 14. Luke 9:23 says this, "And he said unto them all," wait, "he said unto them all," that's an important word in this verse right here, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Father, I pray you'd bless the reading of your word and that you would open it to us tonight. And thank you that we can tabernacle with you, Lord, because you're holy, holy, holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice? He said, "if any man." You know what that says? He doesn't make robots. He doesn't force anybody. Everybody is welcome, but they have a choice. Now he said, "if you are going to come after me, I'm not giving you a divine suggestion. I'm giving you divine direction. If you will come, if anybody will come after me," he's talking about discipleship. We get fellowship as we're saved by the grace of God, right? But there's much more to Christianity than fellowship. There's fellowship. And this is what he's talking about for a disciple. You know, we almost act like sometimes that discipleship is an option. You know, I can just be saved and I'm good. You know, I've got my ticket punched and he shouldn't expect anything else out of me. He never saved anybody to have an attitude like that. He saved everybody in order that... And what else did he do? He gifted everybody with a spiritual gift in order to use it to build up the body. Amen. And to take the gospel. So it's all important, but God's plan is for us to be discipled and to grow as disciples. So he says, here it is. Here's the invitation. And here's, I'm asking you to make a choice. But he said it's for whosoever will. And there's a purpose to it. You know, there's a place in the Old Testament when it talks about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. It said he brought them out to bring them in. It wasn't just to get them delivered from Egypt. It was to get them delivered from Egypt to deliver them to the Promised Land. Amen. So he's got a plan for us. Amen. And aren't you glad that he does? So what he does is lay down the conditions to disciples. He said, first of all, I expect a disciple to deny themselves. Wonder, you know, people get mixed up about this a whole lot too, about denying self. In other words, he's saying to his disciples, I want you to yield to someone else's will, my will, my plan, and not yours. That's sometimes a hard thing to do, isn't it? Deny self. And that yield thing's pretty hard too. Because self wants to control things, doesn't it? Self says, I'm hungry. Self says, I'm thirsty. Self says, I'm mad. Or I'm glad. Or I'm whatever. And that's what controls me. But he said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to yield your will. God never saved anybody to break their will. He just wants to sanctify their will. That's why he instructed his disciples to pray this way. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'm going to yield control. I'm going to give those reins over to somebody else other than me, and it's got to be him. He said there's a first condition of discipleship, but the second condition is the painful one. Take up your cross daily. Romans 6, Paul says, I die daily. Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. In other words, he imparts that faith to us, right? And he said, here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to yield to me, and I want you to die to self. So in other words, it's a big thy will be done. Again, he's putting a point on it right here. Take up your cross daily. Now, everybody in the first century knew what that was. That wasn't a piece of jewelry. It wasn't something you put in your pocket. It wasn't something that you put on top of the church. The cross was the instrument of death. And he said, that's what I'm asking you to do. I want you and your plan and your agenda and everything else to die in order that your will can be swallowed up in mine. And he said, I want you to do that. Take up your cross daily. That, well, Lord, I can tote that thing on Sundays. It's pretty easy on Sundays. But you mean on Monday? You mean at that ball game? You mean when they make that bad call? You mean everywhere? Yes. That's what I mean. And then he says, and isn't it odd that we're singing about footsteps of Jesus and all tonight? I wonder how that happened. We didn't get together on that, did we? And follow me. You can't go wrong following him.
Amen.
And as you follow him, and as they followed him for 3 years, they watched him like a hawk. They watched how he reacted in every situation. They listened to what he had to say. They saw the compassion that he exhibited on people. When he looked at a multitude, it just wasn't a big crowd. How are we going to feed all that bunch? He looked right into them, right into where they lived and who they were. And he knew everything about everybody he was looking at because he was a God in the flesh.
Yeah.
And he knew all their hurts, all their wants, all their needs, all their desires, all their fears, and everything else. And above everything else, he looked at them with the eyes of mercy, and he loved them. He had compassion, it said, on the crowds. Compassion is mercy in action. So he said, there's the three conditions, and there's no wiggle room for them. So the verb follow me is a command to do something in the future which requires and involves continuous action, not just a one-time thing. So what I wanted to do tonight, just for a short time, I didn't even define the disciple for you, did I? A disciple is a follower, a pupil or learner who accepts the instruction given to them and makes it their rule of conduct. That's what Bible Dictionary says about a disciple. Isn't that something? That they accept the instruction given to them and make it their rule of conduct. So they're little disciples following the pattern that's been cut out for them. So I thought I'd look at three different kinds of disciples tonight. for just a few minutes. And I'm going to give you back probably those 10 minutes I got from you this morning. I believe there's at least three kinds of disciples. First, there's dilapidated disciples. The ones that had that Alka-Seltzer religion. They start out with a bang and they fizzle out. You know, I'm convinced it's not how you start, it's really how you finish. And my prayer now is, you know, of anything, I can't do all I could do before, but I want to finish strong. Don't you? Just finish strong. Finish and run that race, and it doesn't matter. Listen, I'm not going to come in first place. I'm not the fastest runner, but I want to go across that finish line.
Amen.
And I'm not saying run across it, but maybe we have to walk across it or limp across it or maybe crawl across it or have somebody push us across. But I want to cross it. I want to finish what he had for me to do first. And there's dilapidated. How many dilapidated? Do you know any dilapidated disciples? Now I'm looking at y'all. You're already thinking, I know five or six of them, right? I can name them right now. They start out pretty good. Where are they tonight? You know, where are they? Dilapidated. You ever seen a dilapidated vehicle? Or drive one for that matter? There's a preacher from Georgia, Jackie Millwood, and he told this story. He said he was going down the road and he saw this farmer and he had him a half-ton pickup truck. And he said he had crates of chickens piled up on that half-ton pickup truck, just loaded down till the springs were sitting down. And he'd drive that pickup truck about 50 feet and he'd jump out of the cab and run over there with a board and hit those cages on the side. Feathers flying, he'd jump back in and go 50 more feet. And finally, he pulled the guy over and he said, "What in the world are you doing?" And he said, "Well, it's easy." He said, "I got a half-ton pickup truck and I got a ton of chicken crates on the back, and I got to keep them flying so I'm not overloaded so bad." You know, that's what it's like in some churches. Got to do something just to keep it flying. You can get dilapidated when your diet isn't what it ought to be. You start losing strength. There's no shortcut for studying the Word of God. I mean, you don't mature, and you can't just bypass the Bible. They're not going to come to church unless we invite them. They're not going to come because we got a nice sign out there. They're not going to do it. Or we can tell them we have a paved parking lot and air conditioning. But they're going to have somebody to go. And dilapidated disciples aren't a big help. Now there's a second kind. And that's the dignified disciple.
That's what the rooster is doing in that
top crate. That's right. Yeah. Strut sitting down. Dignified. They need attention. Do you know who I am? Yeah, think of two dignified disciples in Scripture. Do you remember in the early church in Acts chapter 5, there was Barnabas. And Barnabas sold something of great value, and he brought the money down and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, there were two dignified disciples in that church, Ananias and Sapphira. They needed some attention. They wanted to be somebody, so they planned to sell a piece of land for so much money and then come down and bring part of that and give it to the apostles and get all the applause or all the appreciation from everybody. And they won the prize without paying the price. They're dignified. And old dignified Ananias brought that money down. I don't know how much they sold it for. Maybe they wanted to hold some out and take that cruise on the Sea of Galilee, you know, just for their anniversary. Doesn't say, but that it said they held some back. Laid it at the apostles' feet, and Peter said, is that all of it? Yes, it is. And God snatched the life out of Ananias right there. They had to cart him off right there at the altar. Here comes Sapphira. Yeah. Didn't know what happened. Was that all of it? Oh, yes. Yes, we wanted to add that wing on the church, and we just wanted to be a big part of it. God snatched the life out of her. I'm convinced I know why. Right then, at that period of time, the glory of God was on the early church. I mean, think about what was happening. People being sprung from prison. Everybody getting well over Peter and John's shadow passing by them. Just their shadow as they went on to prayer meeting. 3,000 saved at Pentecost. 5,000 in the next 3 weeks. And the glory of God was on the church. I'm going to tell you, when the glory of God is on something, it's a terrible, awful thing to tamper with the glory of God. Yeah. And justice came quick.
Yes.
I'm convinced that's why we don't see that quick justice like that in churches today. The glory of God's not on it. And the church in America overall is close to having the name of Ichabod written over it. Everybody's there but God. When we start making excuses. Or how about, did anybody read the Reflector this week? We ought to not have to make a rule about what the Word of God says, and we ought to not ever have to apologize for what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And as far as God changing His mind, He hadn't changed His mind about one thing.
Amen.
We might offend somebody if we'd come right out and say where we stood.
Hallelujah.
If you turn that thing upside down and look at it, it says made in hell. It smells like brimstone. I don't know how long God put up with that. Well, that didn't have anything to do with anything but dignified. But then there's the third kind. That's the kind I want to spend the rest of the time on. That's the dynamic disciple. You're not going to get much help out of the dilapidated disciple. You don't need the help of the dignified disciple because he wants or she wants the attention going to them. But the dynamic disciple, let's look over in chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to show you what the characteristics. There's three characteristics in here. You know there'd be three in Scripture, didn't you? Here are the characteristics of a dynamic disciple. Number one, verse 26, Luke 14, 26. If any man come after me, or come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The characteristic of a dynamic disciple, it's a priority. Now, when they use that, that's a Hebrew idiom about love and hate. It's not saying you need to hate your mommy and daddy. But it's making a comparison that up against Jesus, there is no comparison.
That's right.
It's as that he's that much farther above. But when you make him number one, I'm going to tell you, being in second place is a pretty good place to be.
Amen.
If you're going to love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, then, right? If we love him and make him the priority, first priority, everything else is in better shape that comes after that. Amen. But he's making the comparison, and he said, that's the priority. And he said, if you can't do that, that means, in the priority matter, Christ has no rival. There's nobody else that rivals him, not even myself. He said, in your own life also, Christ has no rival. Secondly, y'all are listening real fast. I like that. This is good.
Yes.
Verse 27, and whoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, listen to this, cannot be my disciple. Not only is it a priority matter, it's a personal matter. If he doesn't bear his cross. Now think about the characteristics of somebody on a cross. Somebody that's going to die on a cross. First of all, they only look in one direction, right? Here they are. They're nailed up there. They hold on to nothing. They have no further plans of their own because it doesn't make compromise. The cross doesn't compromise with anybody. They know they're not coming back. And they've already surrendered claim to every possession. And he said, you need to bear your cross or you can't be my disciple. Not only does Jesus have no rival, he has no refusal. What keeps me from being a dynamic disciple? It's not what I'm willing to do for him, but it's what I'm not willing to do. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, but don't ask. He's not interested in all this that you're willing. He's real interested in this. I'm not going to do that. He said there's no refusal with a disciple. He said if you got refusal, you can't be my disciple. If you're not willing to identify with shame and suffering and surrender to God's will, no matter what, you can't be his disciple. That easy. And look at the third characteristic. He says this, the verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So it's a priority matter, it's a personal matter, but it's a possession matter too. It's not about who you are, but it's about whose you are. God's not an Indian giver. Remember, do you remember that? We don't hear that anymore. That's probably somehow insensitive and incorrect, and there's probably somebody in Cleveland or in Washington, D.C., or Atlanta Braves that is offended by the word Indian giver. But you know what I'm talking about, right? What God gives us, He gives us, and He gives it willingly, but He expects something else. Salvation is free, but discipleship costs you everything. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Does that mean I can't have anything or have any fun anymore? It doesn't mean that at all. It means somebody's got first place. And there's only one that deserves to sit in first place seat. No rival, no refusal, and no retreat. He said, if you look back, you're going to go back, right? We ought to be so excited about tomorrow because none of us know exactly what's going to happen. How many of you have some kind of plan tomorrow? I've got a plan for tomorrow. That cracked windshield. That guy from Jack Morris Glass is coming out of Nashville with a windshield, a brand new one. They said, we don't know when he'll come. And I said, well, I'll be right here by the phone. He's going to come and put that windshield in. That's what I think, and that's my plan. I wonder what God's plan is. The thing is about God's plan is, I can trust it.
Amen. Amen.
I can trust it that it's going to be for my good and for His glory.
Yes.
And no matter what it is, or it may seem like nothing, but He's going to run our paths across somebody. Yeah. And, you know, I've been getting convicted about those calls, the spam calls. They almost messed up a good word. Pam's in spam, right? They shouldn't call it that. You know, robocalls. They'll just say, may I speak to Mr. Youngcorn? And I said, no, and I hang up the phone. You know what? I've gotten convicted over that this week. I don't need to be ugly like that. Do you know what? You just got somebody real just for a minute. Before they turn on the recording, what if I said, yes, you can. As a matter of fact, He wants to talk to you. Let me tell you about somebody that loved you so much, He went to Calvary, laid down on a cross and died for you.
Amen.
And He rose again. Do you know Him? If you don't, you can know Him today. You can call on Him. Save me, Jesus, and He'll do that. How hard would that be for me to do that? Now that I've said that, you're holding me accountable, and that's how I'm going to have to answer those calls now instead of just hanging up on them.
Skid them.
Because sometimes, you know, when we get advanced in age, we don't get out around everybody every day. We become homebodies, don't we?
Yeah.
May get as far as the lawnmower or the mailbox, and we don't run into anybody, but there's a place. Well, why shouldn't Jesus be first right there?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, what would a dynamic disciple do? Well, he'd see that as not an inconvenience, but an opportunity.
Amen.
To tell somebody about Jesus. Okay. No retreat. It's not just surrendering our stuff, but our time is His, our energy is His, our motivation is Him. And He's never too busy and He's never too tired. So I suppose I said all that to say this. What kind of disciple are you? Classify yourself. But as you're doing that, don't get too negative and hard on yourself. But remember when you were blind and you were sitting on the curb and He passed by and you called out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You remember when you didn't care anymore and you pushed through the crowd just where you could get close enough where you could touch the hem of His garment. If I could just get that close to him, that'd be enough. He already knows what I need. Remember when you pushed through and what he did for you? You remember how grateful we were? Remember at a place like this, made a lot of promises. I have, and lots of other folks have. Well, what if he's calling that marker in? St. Skip, do you remember that a couple years ago, what you said? Anywhere, anytime? Listen, I wouldn't dare turn a place down to preach. I don't care if I had to get my own way to Clawhammer, Egypt for one service. I'd go because I told him 37 years ago, you ring the phone, you give me the opportunity, I'll go. Enough said. I won't even look over the door. I don't even care about that. Because I got a gospel. Listen, there's lots better gospel preachers, but there's not a one got a better gospel than I've got to preach.
Amen.
Don't you want to be a dynamic disciple? Don't you want to just say, whatever's left, Lord, just have this and take it and do what you want with it. I'm yours. You bought and paid for me. How much did I pay, Skip? Well, you paid Calvary.
Yeah.
Your son spent his blood. You spent your son in order to redeem me. Well, that's what the Lord gave me to give you tonight. I'm so glad. Listen, I'm glad to be a part of this fellowship.
Amen.
And we need to always stay different. We need to be different. We don't have to boast or brag or anything else. We just need to be in God's will, honor His word, and stay in His will. And He's going to continue doing great stuff. And if you don't believe that, look in the rearview mirror and see the hand of God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, you got a pretty good Sunday school teacher right there, but I'm fixing to snatch him out of there, and I'm going to make him a preacher up here in Dixon. Well, those two look like missionaries. That's not defeat. That's victory.
Amen.
Just think if he took the rest of us and somebody could meet in a phone booth on Sunday, but everybody else would be out there sharing a gospel somewhere. It's okay. And I'm okay being different. They rejected Jesus. They're probably going to reject us most of the time because of who we believe in, but it's okay and it's worth it.
That's right.
And he said, I'm not holding anybody back from that. You get as close as you want. And follow in my footsteps.
Yep.
And he's already made the pattern for us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the offer that you did give. That if we wanted to, if any man, any woman, any boy or any girl wanted to, you'd take them and let them follow you. Thank you that you laid out your plan for us. And I pray, Father, that you just use us up to your honor and your glory in our everyday lives, wherever we are. We want you sitting on the throne and we want you to be in dead center. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is calling.